Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Walden. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, I'm so glad you joined us. This is the most timely program I think we've ever had. You will definitely wish you had pen and paper. If you don't, please stop and get it now, because there are so many headlines related to prophecy and prophecy being fulfilled that all I could do is make a list that is pages long, and I'm just talking about headlines from this month. Many of them, most of them, since the blood moon. So much is happening so fast. And some of these things we had an inkling of, but now it's developing in situations that are beyond my imagination. But I'm not big on politics. I don't listen to the news all the time. If I don't say something just right, please don't send me hate letters. No one ever has, but just know that I'm just like you, you know, just reading and listening and wondering what it all means. So what I would like you to do is just write down phrases so that you can Google it or research it for yourself with sites that you trust, okay? Can we have that as an agreement? Because I am no financial specialist, news specialist, even geography, but we want to have that Issachar anointing, amen, that we can discern the times and the seasons. And so my purpose tonight is to help you make a prayer list, just to help you make a prayer list. And I believe that we can pray that the kingdom of God will be established on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that we can stave off the hand of the enemy for a while. Yes, the prophecies in Revelation will eventually all be fulfilled. They're not personal prophecies. They're not conditional on you and I accepting them. But we can pray. And I believe the Bible indicates the third great awakening, a real reformation or revival of some kind that's worldwide. And we can pray that in if we will unite. So what I don't want you to do is take the list that I share tonight and speak negative, negative, negative. What we want to do is pray the positive instead. But the Bible says, be not ignorant of the wiles of the devil. And so tonight we're going to focus, because we don't all the time, we don't. We're going to focus just tonight on being not ignorant of the wiles of the devil. And I just want to start off, first of all, by saying in the name of Jesus, we bind, tie up, gag, render mute and ineffective any spirit of anxiety or fear or dread or passivity or anything related to being lukewarm and just laying down on the bottom of the pile and letting the devil take over. And we bind that in the name of Jesus. Say none of these spirits can affect us, our pets, possessions, or property, anything or anybody we care about, that any sign of the enemy, that they're all canceled. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to show us the truth, to show us how to pray, to show us how to stand, how to be willing to lift up the name of Jesus, that we won't be those that deny him, but we will lift him up and take the right kind of advantage of these situations where people may have such fear that their hearts would fail, like the Bible says, that we will offer them hope, we'll offer them the love of Jesus, practical assistance, an encouragement, and an anchor that will hold through these troubled times. Amen. We are seriously in a time of trouble. And if you don't believe that yet, you will in the next 40 minutes. And if you're like me in any way, you'll probably be saying, well, we always talked about these times coming, but it does really look like they're here, at least in some parts of the world. And I found more headlines for the United States than I cared to read, that's for sure. Yes, I know that we can't believe everything we read or everything we hear, but I want to say this disclaimer again. I am not an official news person. I'm not that well read when it comes to bad news or politics or anything like that. So most of this doesn't really have to do with politics here in the United States, but it does all have something to do with prophecy being fulfilled, knowing that we are in the end times or troubled times. Prophecy is so easily seen in the moon, in the news since the blood moon. And I'm just going to say a few things real quick. The peace talks, you know, have been put off. It's interesting that they said 9 months. That has got to mean something. And when they thought that they would have everything all figured out by April 29th, we have troops that are in Eastern Europe. We have troops from Russia and other places that have been trained here, and that's not new. But there are talks about having a new European Union super state. I'm not sure what that will mean, but you can write that down. I don't like what I did hear about Russia highlighting its Jews, whether they're claiming that they are victims of anti-Semitism or whether they're claiming that they're a problem. Either way, I want them to just leave them alone and let them live a peaceful life. Amen. Let's just pray for that. The peace of Jerusalem and Jewish people everywhere. It's very troubling to hear about this Ebola outbreak or plague, whatever it's going to be. Will it stay in Africa? I hear that it's already in Europe. Can it be contained? So we need to pray about that. Two Christian teens were crucified. You may have heard that. But the part I didn't hear until I researched it today was not only were they crucified and other Christians were killed or kidnapped, but unborn babies were removed from their mother's womb and hung out for all to see by their umbilical cord. Yes, you heard me right. You know, in my day and time, we talked about, you know, pick on somebody your own size. That has got to be as low as it goes, unless you talk about abortion itself. There's been a lawsuit discussed, at least, about suing that we can't say one nation under God. Been in the works. Oregon has been using energy that was generating unborn babies in Canada. I believe that's happening in Britain, too. Check that out. The new clean energy would be from incinerating aborted or unborn babies. Then there's a statue of Baphomet, or the devil, that's been erected next to the Ten Commandments in Oklahoma. Reportedly, there are children sitting in his loving lap. If I get the tents on these wrong, like for instance, if that was going to happen next week instead of this week, please forgive me. I was writing as fast as I could. Constitution leaflets were being passed out, and the people were told that they could only pass them out in the free speech zone. So since when do you have to have free speech zones in order to protect the defense of the Constitution? My, my, my. Of course, there's more surveillance on you and I that's being kept in more and more large buildings that they claim is not, you know, anything but for our protection. But there's more ways of doing surveillance on us than ever before. I knew that there was one, you might say, Tower of Babel in the European Union, but I didn't know that others had been erected. You can research that. There's more than one building purposely like the Tower of Babel. See, that's why some of us are concerned about what do you call unity, because the plan was to have unity with the original Tower of Babel, too, but it wasn't unity under Jehovah God. Then they've got chips now, medical chips that they can put in that supposedly are helping people get healed. This is really far out, hard for me to believe, that people's blind eyes have come open or their crippled legs can walk after getting these chips, but I guess they'll say most anything to get us to want chips. I also read that there's an Islam majority in 51 countries. Do you realize that they have 8 children to anybody else's 2 children in the Americas, that they can easily outvote us in just a few years? You know, I welcome anybody that wants to live in the United States, but I don't want to be outvoted and have to go with Sharia law. But they could have a peaceful takeover just by outvoting us. Then there's all this news in the Sudan, Syria, Damascus, you know, and there's a prophecy about Damascus being destroyed. You have to wonder how long it'll be before we see more happening there. Then the weather. Oh, my goodness, the weather. Earthquakes are reportedly up by 2,000%. And we're not talking just California. That's in selected areas, but it's not just California. And then one thing that I'm glad hasn't happened yet is the Yellowstone volcano has not erupted. But I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. I did some research on that. And a sandstorm in China that was beyond anything they've had in years. And, of course, the tornadoes that just hit the United States. Brand new news. But I'd like to stop right now, just 10 minutes into the program, and share some good news. That also is part of the seed that you and I have sown. For all of you that have supported us in any way with prayer and friendship and moral support and finances, comments on Facebook, however you've been there for us, especially if you were with us 3 or 4 years ago when I made Now Faith TV free, you had a part in sowing some seeds that I can't wait to tell you about. So I'll just take a break from the bad headlines and tell you this. According to recent reports, China is on course to become the most Christian nation in the world. And within about 15 years, if it continues, you know, at the current rate of conversions that they're having, it will be the most Christian nation within about 15 years. You got that? The Telegraph UK reported on China's biggest church that holds 5,000 people. So you might say, how does that happen in a country where it's illegal? Well, a few years ago, the Chinese Christians belonging to these underground churches started heeding the call of their underground pastors to go public. A 2011 CBN News reported on this. And their meetings, which hundreds attend, are still considered illegal, but the government authorities are, you might say, turning a blind eye to them because there's too many of them. According to the Telegraph report, the Chinese Protestant community, which had just 1 million members in 1949, has already overtaken those of countries more commonly associated with an evangelical boom. In 2010, there were more than 58 million Protestants in China, compared to 40 million in Brazil, 36 million in South Africa. According to the Pew Research Center's Forum on Religion and Public Life, Professor Yang, a leading expert on religion in China, believes that the number will swell to around 160 million by 2025. That would likely put China ahead of the United States, which had around 159 million Protestants in 2010. But our congregations are declining, You know, some churches appear to have church growth, but a lot of it is people just getting discontent and moving from one church to another. By 2030, China's total Christian population, including Catholics, would exceed 247 million, placing it above Mexico, Brazil, United States, as the largest congregation in the world, he predicted. Now, the reason I say you and I had a part in that is when I made Now Faith TV, or video training school, online free 3 or 4 years ago, 9,000 Chinese started attending within 2 weeks, and they continued to attend for 2 years. Now, look at that. With your prayer support, financial support, moral support, I've been able to continue without the funds that I got from Now Faith TV. Now, we have a very modest budget, but what I'm saying is, as a team, we made that training available to these Chinese. We know that we sewed into at least 9,000 of them, which by 2010, there were 58 million Protestants in China, and usually there's way more Catholics in most countries than there are Protestants. So I'm not sure why it doesn't give that number. But it did say by 2030, China's total Christian population, including Catholics, could exceed 247 million, making it the most Christian nation in the world. So I just want to stop and give praise to God and say thank you to all of you that help us keep the lights on and yet make that ministry training school by video and audio and written articles and written prayers available to people in third world countries, because I just knew that that was God's heart. He's saying, I want you to make it free so the third world country can be a part of it. And here they came within 2 weeks. And I wondered, how could 9,000 join at once? And it may be a lot of them were part of these really big churches over there. I don't know. But we just praise God, because, see, that was 9,000 3 or 4 years ago. And you know how aggressive the Chinese people are. They're go-getters. When 9,000 people get the training that we offer here, they're going to go places with it. And so I know we had a part in this. Just praise God. I'm just so humbled by the whole thing. But ever since the blood moon, see, there's also increasing agitation. And what happens is when people get afraid and agitated and worried, many of them turn to God. And this could be a very big part of what the harvest is about, that we're expecting more this year, more the next year, is that people will be turning to God, and it's no time for us to be shy and intimidated and passive. Amen? We need to be right there to share the love of Jesus, share in practical help, give them hope in God. Amen? In Matthew 24 and Mark 13, Jesus talks about rumors of wars. Luke 21, the distress of the nations and signs and moon and the stars. See, those three passages are very parallel. And we are certainly seeing all kinds of things happen since these blood moons just began. You know, their anniversary dates, you know, the Holocaust was around blood moons and the Six-Day War, when Israel became a nation, and the Six-Day War. And things just keep happening. Like in 2011, there were blood moons, and there were earthquakes in Japan, the tsunami. All these animals all started dying. I'll mention that again. But now we see Russia and the Ukraine into it. And, you know, some people are very concerned about them highlighting the Jews at all. But we just don't, you know, we'd just feel better if they just wouldn't mention it, whether they're victims or think they're a problem. Just leave the Jews alone. And you might think that things are quiet in China, but I'm going to tell you more about that. Next program, I'm believing, I'm going to be out of town, but I'm going to do my best to still have a program. China has all this good news, but it's also in cahoots with Russia on a lot of things and some other countries, and I'll tell you more next week. But China has been meeting with other countries without the United States being invited, talking about starting a world currency. And that is something that could cause our entire currency to fail because our dollars aren't worth nearly what we say they are. And when they finally decide that they've had enough of it and the United States dollar is not the standard, that means that in order for us to buy and sell, we will have to trade our dollars in on the currency of that country, in which case the dollar is instantly devalued down to its real value, which is much, much less than we say. So when China meets with other countries to consider, you know, how they would put this new world standard for money into place, that alone could cause our collapse here, just that one thing, or if China called in our debt for that. So praise God that we're able to sow good seeds there. There's North Korea, you know, has been doing these nuclear tests seemingly to intimidate South Korea, Hawaii, D.C., Austin, California, and whoever else they're targeting. And, of course, we don't know where they plan to go with that. Pestilence, the Ebola outbreak, you know, I've already mentioned, okay. But what we can do regarding that potential plague there is to say and to speak that no evil or plague can come near us. Amen. And not just me and mine, you know, but our whole country and other countries to contain this thing. And we can pray because our prayers don't know any geographical limit. You know, Jesus, who lives inside us, is a fifth dimension. You know, he's not contained by time or space. So whatever God tells us to pray is not limited by our geography. Amen. And then this past weekend, we had the most severe tornadoes in the Midwest. I'm not sure if I have the latest count yet. It was 9 dead and then 17. And then there was this giant sandstorm in China that was unprecedented. I'm going to tell you more about that in a minute because I have reports from different sources here. But the thing that bothers me the most is the increasing persecution of Christians. Like in how do you say it, Boko Haram, crucifying two teenage boys for not renouncing their faith, slaughtering the people, taking the unborn babies by the umbilical cord and hanging them out. I mean, this is a new low. But we can't ignore this just because it's not in the United States, and I think that's been a problem. They say the Holocaust might have not ever happened if people had listened when the trains and trains and trains of Jews going by their villages and their churches, if they had done something instead of just ignoring their screams. I think we're hearing the screams from a distance, but what are we doing? We have got to pray at the very least. But we, you know, we used to make more of a humanitarian stand on these things, and now what's happened? We can't ignore what's happening to Christians any more than we should have ignored what was happening to you. Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and of good courage. Fear is not an excuse. It's not a reason, friend, to ignore what's going on in these other countries. And people say, no, we're not in a tribulation yet, but I said it depends on where you live. If they were decapitating Christians in your neighborhood like they are in some overseas and playing soccer with their heads, would you call it tribulation? Yeah, I think this is awful. That's the point. New converts are being persecuted. Again, in Boko Haram, trying to force this girl that had just converted to Christianity to renounce and killing her husband and two sons, kidnapping her two daughters. You know, this is real, people. Tribulation. You know, how much worse does it get? We're seeing also a downfall in the United States. we have essentially been voting for socialism. Atheists are making headway, Marxism. And many people are forecasting that there's going to be major changes in our economy this summer. So what I'm encouraging people to do, what if the worst does happen? What if these forecasts are true? Get your affairs in order before July. That's what the economic forecasters are saying. Get your affairs in order now. You may not be able to later. They may prevent you from moving your money to other places or investing it in a different way. There's going to be new laws set in place, but we'll talk about that next week. Get so that God's not allowed to move freely in America with a lawsuit about just calling it one nation under God. We didn't say one nation under Jesus Christ. We can't even say God. A kid can't even wear a jersey to school with a scripture on it. Nothing Christian on his gym shirt. What have we come to? Where did speech, you know, freedom of speech go? Because recently we talked about that kids can still carry their Bible to school and read it freely. But there's a lot of intimidation going on that's brought that into question. Also, there's more and more of an open gay agenda, and whether you know, whether your child knows about these things or not, they're going to know. There was a gay Jesus contest in San Francisco out in the open to see who made, you know, up their appearance to look like the best gay Jesus. There are paintings of the resurrection and last and crucifixion with Jesus portrayed as being gay. And Reverend Al Sharpton likens Obama's resurrection to that of Jesus. A lot of confusion out there, folks. And confusion's a nice word, amen. My little puppy's asleep, dreaming about all this. Baby! Baby, wake up. She's barking in her sleep. Teachers are taking Bibles right out of a second grader's hand, even though there's a Bill of Rights for students that says they can bring their Bibles. Lady Gaga was portrayed as a fallen angel resurrecting Jesus. I don't understand that, but that's what I heard. Drawing blood from Jesus, cloning Jesus, and Gandhi, and Michael Jackson. You'll just have to Google that one. I heard it and couldn't copy it in writing, so I may not have my conjunctions correct. But Google Lady Gaga with her fallen angel resurrection of Jesus. Another thing that's more clearly described, I guess, is that remember back in 2011 when the whales and the birds and the bees and the cattle and the beasts of the field and all were dying by the thousands? I didn't realize there had been an annual repeat of that. It's still going on, like an anniversary. And no one knows what's causing all these animals and birds and bees and cattle and all to die, fall out of the air, or die in the water. Can animals be that afraid too? I don't know. But millions of fish are dying because they can't get oxygen, maybe, in the water. Did you hear about these bodies of water in several different countries like Australia, China, and in Ohio and Texas, these bodies of water that just turn red like blood for no known reason? Did you hear that 9,000 dead pigs were found in the water in China? These are strange things, you know, and I've lived long enough, and some of you have, to where we've heard many predictions, you know, this is the end of the world, this is the tribulation. But I'm only not even halfway through my list, guys, and this is for this month. I don't remember anything like this happening so much in one month. I mean, you know, we've always had different agendas like the homosexual agenda sweeping the world. But it's sweeping school, the government, ministers are coming out, speaking up for same-sex marriage, transgenders in ministry, and pastors are saying, God gave me a nudge to accept even bestiality. Come on, people having sex with animals, and they're taking up for it with goats and dogs. Couples are putting videos of bestiality up on websites. They just take with their own cell phone. Videos of children being abused, little babies. And where's the fear that they'll be found out? And does something happen to these folks? And then you know what goes on at these major Super Bowl events and like the World Cup. There's a business package that you can buy that you can have the sex slave of your choice for like $12,000, 10 or 12. Oh, my goodness. Mothers that are prostitutes, they're taking their daughters that are prostitutes and really cleaning up. $12,000 a customer. Well-known CEO executives and pastors, anybody, can buy this package. Liberals want to purge the world of Christians. I guess we're the problem. You know, it's been clearly said before this month, this is old news, that Bible-believing Christians are the problem. In 2001, it was not only Bible-believing Christians, in 2001, foreigners were called terrorists, or maybe some of them were homegrown terrorists trained here. But it was easier to see who the terrorists are. Now it includes Bible-believing Christians, people that are pro-life, against illegal immigration, part of the NRA, or for the Second Amendment. These are the people that are considered the terrorists, and that was in writing. And whether you're into conspiracy theory or not, you've got to be aware that there are camps that could be used that have trains that have straps in them to tie people down, not cattle, and coffins already in place. Now, who's this going to be used up on, and why do we need this? Why do we have law enforcement trained already to act as if they're military people to enforce the New World Order? Why do we have employees in these camps, and they have been there for a while, guys, to run these camps? Why are they already staffed? Why do we have soldiers from Russia and China and the Middle East training in suburban America? Why do we have tankers in various cities in the United States as if we're at war? Why do we have training going on for our soldiers overseas in new places? And why do we see Black Hawk helicopters just flying around in places like Florida and Louisiana? Why do we see massive hoarding of ammunition? You can hardly buy ammunition today. Why has our military been shrinking? It's like even the ground is groaning and crying out. There are sinkholes all around the world that have affected freeways, houses, whole cities, worldwide. What is going on, guys? We need to pray. And it's hard to know exactly what to pray, and this is only like half the list. We knew it was a problem when abortions were accepted. But it used to be that they were only early term, you know. But the murder of unborn children now has surpassed anything we knew about in the Holocaust. Wow. Like Obama said, God bless Planned Parenthood. That's what he said, not me. We are sacrificing babies to Molech just as much as they did, just like they did in the Old Testament. The Satanists and the ACLU have set up the statue of Baphomet next to the Ten Commandments in Oklahoma, with the two children sitting on Baphomet's lap as if he's not the devil, he's some loving friend. And using babies as queen energy just beats all, as far as I'm concerned, but at least it began as Oregon buying this queen energy from Canada. Wow. Sex traffickers are now paying with Bitcoin because they're untraceable. But even those Bitcoins are going to go by the wayside, guys. You know, when this economy collapses, none of that's going to be any good. Wow. And about that Malaysian jetliner, do you really believe that it just disappeared? Somebody's got to be hiding something, right? I mean, does that make me paranoid to think that the news on this? Is it in Pakistan and they can use it to attack us? Or wherever? You know, where is this valuable plane? And then there's the Mark of the Beast technology. We've known that chips will be implanted in our hand, or that fingerprints can be used, or now there's a wiring that can be in the forehead. But you know that it's not going to be that long before it's mandatory. So we've got to get stronger in the Lord, have strong faith, be ready to take a stand or to cave into the mark of the beast. Am I making that up? No. The prophecies in Revelation are very, very clear about that. You can look that up. So the good news is Christianity is growing in some places. And the good news is that some people are standing up and are sharing Christ and the love of Christ and serving others and believing for what goods they have to multiply, and they're helping people out. And when we have shortages that are prophesied, shortages of food and water and all in this country, I'm hoping that you and I will be in a place where we can believe that what we have will be multiplied. We won't be fighting people off. We'll be supplied. Amen. I just feel for the people where the tornadoes touched down in this 80-mile stretch from Oklahoma, Arkansas. Major damage done in Mayflower, Arkansas. 17 confirmed deaths. But I want you to know that Alabama's preparing now for severe weather tonight and into Tuesday. There's a sizable widespread episode of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes that hopefully is over, but the thunderstorm part, at least, maybe tornadoes, is supposed to move through Alabama and then on into Georgia and North Florida. And that sandstorm that swept Gansu Province in northwest China on Wednesday, we're talking serious problems here, guys. Reducing visibility to less than 65%. People complaining that it was suddenly dark. They couldn't tell if it was day or night. Their nose hurt. They couldn't open their eyes. Their sandstorm caused a red alert, the highest alert that they have. Bad news, guys. The weather is going crazy. The earth is groaning. Another piece of good news that I've got is that Yellowstone's volcano hasn't gone yet, but they did discover that the Magna Reservoir is at least 50% larger than they thought previously. So some people are very concerned about that. We can pray about that, but that volcano won't go because it is huge. It will affect a lot of people if it does. Another thing I didn't like was when Kerry warned Israel that they could become an apartheid state. You know, what does it mean when Kerry says this could happen, apartheid state, huh? And Obama says, oh, no, we don't say that, we don't mean that. I don't understand politics, I'll tell you right now. But does that mean, is that like somebody calling you a whore in public and then said, oh, I didn't mean it? I mean, what does that amount to when one leader says something horrible like that, and the other one says, no, no, no. So, you know, they've pressured Israel to release these prisoners, and we thought some good might come of it. But John Kerry said this to influential world leaders in a closed-door meeting Friday. This wasn't just something, you know, said at the hamburger stand. Kerry also repeated his warning that a failure of Middle East peace talks could lead to resumption of palace violence against Israeli citizens. See, to me, you shouldn't even suggest stuff like that, although I realize it's very real. He lashed out about the Israeli settlement building, as if it's not their land, I guess. See, to me, in the Bible, God said that Israel was his land. He didn't even say, I mean, there shouldn't be any discussion about this. This land belongs to God. This is his chosen spot. But Kerry thinks that he can unveil his own peace deal, he said, if he has to, he says, and tell both sides to take it or leave it. Oh, me. Where does the United States get all this? But anyway, a two-state solution would be clearly underscored as the only real alternative. But a unitary state winds up either a apartheid state with second-class citizens, or it ends up being a state that destroys the capacity of Israel to be a Jewish state, end quote. Well, that's not all that's going on, but that one's really got my heartstrings. We need to really pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel. And I know you are. The mayor of Ukraine's second largest city was shot in the back, Monday. And pro-Russia insurgents seized yet another government building as tensions rose in eastern Ukraine ahead of a new round of U.S. sanctions. Wow. You know, the Russia and China is mentioned in the Revelation, and people say, well, you know, where is the United States? And that's a good question. I can't say that I can give you a definite answer to that. And Obama's pushing for this minimum wage to be raised to $10.10 an hour, saying it would boost America's minimum wage. That would, you know, help our country, nearly 28 million people. And, of course, making more money could help. But some people say that it would also reduce the total employment by about 500,000 workers, or by 3%. That's true. Some people would make more money. 500,000 maybe would be unemployed. Yikes. Scientists say that this human microchip implant will soon be not optional. They've already designed them so they can track and monitor human beings. This has already been in place for about 2 decades in the virtual realm. Software programs are now capable of watching us in real time, even going so far as to make predictions about our future behaviors and sending alerts to an appropriate monitoring station depending on how a computer algorithm flags your activities. Wow. Does this remind me of Minority Report or one of those movies about crimes that you might do? This is in itself scary. Wow. But that's in the physical realm. There are also nano, if you call them chips or whatever, there are nano things out there where they can actually control you. These already exist, guys. And some people want the chip. They're saying, oh, it's too hard to take so many pills a day. So what they've done is they've created a chip that you can have inserted. It'll be preloaded with medications and implanted into your body and programmed to administer the drugs at a given time, interval, or dose. and the doctor would theoretically be able to adjust the dose or stop the drug altogether by remote control. Wasn't that handy? They can overdose you or underdose you or stop them altogether without even coming to your house. Massachusetts Institute of Technology researchers Robert Langer and Michael Suma, I think, started working on this idea in the 90s. Wow. Remote control, whether you get your medicine or not. Archbishop. Then there's an archbishop that has agreed with Multnomah Publishing that we should never quote God's word on homosexuality. We've moved beyond his outdated opinion. Did you know God was out of date? The church needs to evolve, he says, and change as it responds to the world around it. Said the Bible should not be used to reinforce viewpoints on gay marriage. That last comment was Dr. Barry Moore. Well, lead singer for Christian group Jars of Clay, also turned on by pro-gay, pro-bisexual, pro-transgender theology rejection of outdated biblical views. Dan Hasselton, the lead singer of popular Christian band Jars of Clay, took to Twitter recently to voice his support for marriage equality. Not only that, but he engaged with his followers in a discussion about the biblical interpretation of marriage, and he noted that he's unable to understand conservatives who use scripture to deny same-sex couples equal rights. He's still engaging with his followers and having extremely thought-provoking conversations about the rights for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, LGBT, individuals and what the Bible has to say. That's within the Christian population itself. Now, something that's bigger than that, maybe, that's been going on for several years that's coming more out in the public now, is about transhumanism. With films about the symbiosis of man and machine, like Transcendence and Her, or Hollywood's other movies about being transhuman, you know, creating super soldiers or super people, including body parts from animals so that we can not only be this intelligent, but as quick as animals. Or a strong Transcendence, starring Johnny Depp, is the latest in a series of Hollywood films that you might call having a transhumanist flair. Other recent movies exploring the symbiosis of man and machine and our relationship with technology include RoboCop remake and Her, H-E-R. I don't know if you realize the real arms race is not about arms that you fight with in the war. It's to see who can make the best super soldiers. And that has been going on a while. These super soldiers already exist. You know, all these movies about hybrid people, they already exist. It's not all fiction. Not to mention people that are part fallen angels. You can look that up and see what you think about that. And from Washington, the Pentagon's research agency tasked with developing breakthrough technologies for national security has come up with a plan to replace flight crews with full-time robots and turn the pilot into a high-level mission supervisor issuing commands through a touchscreen, according to immediate report. Okay, now get this. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, is currently working on technology that will be able to replace up to 5 crew members on a military aircraft, in effect making the lone human operator or mission supervisor the pilot. The air crew labor in the cockpit automation system called ALIAS, A-L-I-A-S, would offer the military a tailorable drop-in removable kit that would enable the addition of high levels of automation in existing aircraft to enable operation with reduced onboard human crew. And that's their goal. Wow. People being replaced by robots, even our military. Now hold onto your hats for this one. About the time we just begin to grasp what same-sex marriage is about and how widespread it's going to be, now we have, how do you say it, throuples? T-H-R-O-U-P-L-E. You know, couples that are actually three. Three married lesbians who say they are the only thruple in the world are expecting their first child together. Dahl and Bryn Young from Massachusetts in the U.S. were dating for 2.5 years. When they decided to spice up their relationship with an additional partner, they met Kitten, 27 years old, through a threesomes website, and the trio got along so well they all married each other last year. And in Massachusetts was the first state to legalize same-sex marriage. When you see how long that lasted, it was two, now it's three. I cried watching Doll and Kitten walk down the aisle towards me with their dad, she said. After we said our vows, Doll and Kitten kissed me first, then each other, she added. The trio share a bed and have sex together and in pairs. And after undergoing IVF with an anonymous sperm donor, Kitten is now several months pregnant with the trio's child. Wow. One piece of good news is that they've come down harder on aspartame. You know, it's the main sweetener for diet sodas. It's one of the most dangerous ingredients used in our food supply. It can cause seizures. I've personally known people that were diagnosed with seizures and found out it was aspartame. Other people that were diagnosed with MS, they found out it was aspartame. I had fibromyalgia for years, didn't know it was aspartame. So it's shown that women that drink, for instance, this study was of 60,000 women, who drink two or more diet drinks a day have much higher cardiovascular disease rates and are more likely to die from cardiac disease. In a large study done of its kind in the University of Iowa, it said compared to women who never or rarely consume diet drinks, those who consume two or more a day are 30% more likely to have a cardiovascular event, heart attack or stroke, and 50% more likely to die than those who do not drink diet drinks with aspartame. Or I might add that some studies show that it's not just aspartame, but other sweeteners that are about the same thing. That does not mean stevia and all sweeteners, but one thing that I want to encourage you to do is just get ready. With all this going on, we just don't know. You know, you never know if you might get sick or unemployed or something and your budget will change. So you need to be ready. We need to take it more seriously to be out of debt. I don't know about savings, but to have some kind of currency or something that you can buy and sell with, but to have extra food and water on hand for at least 2 or 3 months' worth. Civilians, this article says, are not ready for electromagnetic pulse caused blackout. Why should we be? Well, things doing is drill. Because reportedly, our, you know, electronics, our digital systems, our electricity grid, everything is so vulnerable to attack. I'm not quite sure. I won't even say who I think might attack it. But Peter Vincent Pry, Executive Director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security and Director of the U.S. Nuclear Strategy Forum, both congressional advisory boards, said that the technology to avoid disaster from electromagnetic pulse exists, and upgrading the nation's electrical grid is financially viable, Of course, we can just print more money for that, too. I mean, we do for everything else. The problem is not the technology, Price said. We know how to protect against it. It's not the money. It doesn't cost that much. The problem is the politics. It always seems to be the politics that gets in the way. Really? Of protecting our ability to continue with electricity? This is a problem? I just don't understand, folks. I can't explain these things. You'll have to research it for yourself. And then, now people are pushing that religious people shouldn't be standing in the way of cloning humans for spare parts and harvesting them. People with conditions and complications like heart disease, kidney failure, and other issues will have a higher chance of recovering due to a supply of body tissues and organs needed to carry out transplants if we clone people. Wow. You know, these aren't my opinions. I'm just reading you things that I read. You'll have to research it on your own to see how real you think it is. I cannot, you know, personally say I've been to these institutions and seen this, but they say patients will depend less on drugs that prevent problems or prevent immune systems from rejecting the transplant if they go ahead and generate it themselves by using cloning. Wow. And that religious people shouldn't stand in the way. Again, we're the problem. There's a Palestinian Christian woman who believes God gave Israel to the Jews, said she had to flee from Bethlehem after death threats. You know, there are Palestinian as well as Israeli Christians, and I was so happy a couple years ago when a prayer minister over there brought these two groups together and had them washing each other's feet. I mean, this was epic. But this is a Palestinian Christian woman who had to flee her hometown of Bethlehem and was granted political asylum in Britain due to threats on her life after she criticized Palestinian terrorists and express support for Israel's right to exist. She's just identified herself as Christy, but she's done some speaking, and now her own uncle, is for endangering their family, which still resides in Bethlehem. It's tough, guys, and it's going to be tough for us, too. We need to get strong. Palestinian president also expressed his willingness to extend the peace talks by additional 9 months on the condition that the talks held during this time focus on core issues, mainly the final border arrangement. I've read several things. It just seems like there's coming a war on born-again believers. We've seen our freedom of speech being challenged and diminished to just a few things. Now we're on the verge of losing our First Amendment right to freedom of speech. There's a bill being put forward by Massachusetts Senator Edward Markey and New York Representative Hakeem Jeffries that would introduce a Hate Crime Reporting Act of 2014 that, if Markey's bill becomes law, we'll find ourselves in the same situation as our founding fathers were under in British rule. We won't be allowed to speak against the government, illegal, you know, dangerous religious extremists. I mean, that's what we'll be called, I guess. We won't be able to publicly teach that we have or against sin, against sinful lifestyles. We won't be able to teach fidelity versus adultery, teach against fornication, greed, lying, coveting, because someone might be offended. Someone might call it hate language. So what are we going to do? Are we going to stand up and be counted before it's too late, before all these bills are passed? Are we just going to lay down asleep in the pew until almost everything we stand for is a problem? It's almost too late, guys. We have got to either speak now or forever hold your peace. Do you hear me? And that's why I shared this list tonight. I don't like bad news any more than you do. I thought I was just going to come up with a few things. My handwritten list was just 4 or 5 pages. And then when I started looking further, I just started copying and pasting it off the internet because I thought, my goodness, I don't have time to research all that. You all are going to have to help me. If you found out that there was anything said tonight that's way off, please call in or write me because I don't know what to think. I just know this is way more bad news than any year that I've been alive. I've been alive since 1950. I don't even have to tell you how nice the world was then. Of course, a lot of this was in the making, but wow, no comparison, amen. I'd like to hear from some of you. You may have other things to add to the list, or it'd be fine to share some good news, too, if you know a place where Christianity is growing and thriving and people are standing up for Christian values. And, you know, please share it. We need some good news tonight. But, you know, if you have some research or information or questions on this, I may not be able to answer questions because I really don't keep up with politics and a lot of the world issues. My husband's much better than that. He's not here. But please research some of these things because, you know, like the Jews being highlighted in Russia and all, you know, that could be good or bad. You know, I can't tell you it's going to go. I just know that it's concerning. Let's take a couple callers here, and we have a lot of callers tonight, but if you'd like to share something, ask something, make a comment, ask for prayer, please call in 917-388-4683. That's 917-388-4683. I'd like to just stop, kind of clean the air with a little worship break right now. I got so wound up in this today, I didn't download another song, but I'll just use Robert Gay's No Other Name again. That's one of my favorite songs. You'll just pause with me for a 5-minute worship break here, or please call a friend and invite them to call in. We're going to have our question and comment time now, and also offer prophetic prayer online. We just hope that we'll have some new people to minister to tonight, you know, that we're reaching out and welcoming new people. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you're King of all the earth. You're the King of Kings. We thank you that you reign, that you're always in control. We thank you, Jesus, that you have all power in heaven and earth. We thank you that we will rule and reign with you. We're born again believers. We're called to be the bride. And Lord, we choose to have a more intimate relationship with you, to be a better expression of your heart, to be better at demonstrating your power, letting you live through us in this day and time, that we will be the light of the world to people that need light, offering hope to those that need hope. We'll be examples of your love, joy, and peace, that we will not only tell people of your love, but that we will love them. We thank you, Lord, that we will not only talk about faith, but we'll believe for the things that we have in our house to be multiplied, that we'll have more than enough and we'll be able to share with others. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll give us ability to discern ourselves and what goes through our own mind and our own mouth, that we won't be judgmental even of even of our leadership. The Bible says that we're to pray for them first of all, that we will speak your truth, Lord. We will, in fact, right now, we'll just come together in a prayer of agreement just to speak divine encounters with Jesus for our leaders all over the world, all countries, that there will be an amazing, unbelievably huge third great awakening, a revival or reformation, that this world will see. I mean, it will happen. We thank you, Lord, that you're not coming back for a defeated, dried up, pruny, passive, lukewarm church, but that we are victorious. We thank you, Lord. I just want to take some callers. Again, if you have a comment to make or some light to shed or even good news to share about world events, we welcome you. The number is 917-388-4683. And please call a friend. We'd love to hear from some new people. Thank you, Lord. If you haven't called in the last 2 weeks, just go ahead and push number one. If you have called in the last 2 weeks, then and you've already pushed number one, just push it again. It'll take you off the top of the list so that we can get to some new ones first. So if you've already pushed number one and you've called in the last 2 weeks, just push it again. It'll go off. We can get the new ones first. In about, 20 minutes or so, you can call in. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Area code 678, welcome to the program. Area code 678.
Welcome. Hello.
Yes, I can barely hear you, just a little bit louder.
Hello. I'm Henry.
Yes, you're on the air. What's your name
and
city, please?
Henry.
Henry?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Did you have a comment or information to share about world events and prophecy tonight?
Prophetic prayer.
You want prophetic prayer, okay. Any certain need tonight? Just say briefly, don't tell me much.
Relocation.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So many people are in transition now. And it's a good thing. I mean, God's getting his people positioned with different assignments sometimes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for Henry. What city are you in now, Henry?
Georgia.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Henry, I just see streamers flying. It's almost as if you have had a new opportunity to make public your stand for Jesus Christ. And you may even, you know, not be sure just what you want to do about that. But the Lord says, I'm bringing clarity to you about who I am and how I want to operate through you. I'm bringing a certainty that you will have to be steadfast and anchored in me, the Lord says. And I am bringing the opportunity, not only favor for opportunities to, it's like you're waving a banner high. I don't, this might be symbolic, but the Lord says you'll not only be certain of the opportunities, but you will have my courage, just take a stand on some things. You haven't been altogether certain of what your part in it has been or was to be in the past. But the Lord says, I'm bringing a clarity to it, an ability to partner together with other people. And whether you're taking a stand for Jesus Christ clearly or for the underdog or against prejudice or, you know, whatever it is, the Lord says, I'm bringing along people for you to partner with, and in many cases, you know, there'll be a team effort to it, not that you'll always be alone. And the Lord says, I'm just raising up people, and I'm calling you to be my mouthpiece to speak into others' lives and to train them so that they will know how to share my love, how to be my voice, and how to build up other people, how to make disciples. And the Lord says, you will know that you know that you know when it's your assignment, when it's not. Have the humility to ask me about it. And the Lord says that there are more people in your area that have teamed together, even people that you might think are unlikely, that there have been leaders in the past where Jews and Gentiles work together, where Jews and blacks work together, different people work together to take a stand on issues, to take a stand on government issues, to take a stand on just values and truth. And the Lord says, I'm calling you forth as an example, because there are too many lukewarm believers, too many passive, muted, afraid to say or do anything. And the Lord says, it's time. It's time for them to be trained, to have people to partner with, and to know how to rise up and be a light to the world, to be a salt, salt in a dry and thirsty land, to be fresh bread, and to be living water for those that are searching. And the Lord says, first of all, I'll do it in you. But then I'll be calling you to just rise up. Just rise up. Help the men to be women. Help the men to be men. And the women to stand, knowing that there's no male or female on these issues. It's just time to stand for truth. Amen?
Amen.
Now, what location that will be, I don't know. But could you relate to any of that?
Yes, Mom. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I hope that anyone that receives a word tonight will note the time. And you can go back. This will be in the archives within about 20 minutes after the program. And, you know, at any point in time then, you can go back with your pen and paper, and you can use your own player or, you know, when you play the program back, to advance it to the time when you received a word and write it out. I don't know how it all applies, and maybe you don't either. But I think that God will illuminate it. I believe that God will illuminate every word of a prophetic word as you write it. As you write it, and it's good not to shorten it or edit it. Just write it as it is. And to know that if you don't understand it now, you will. And sometimes they even, you know, a word can even manifest in more than one season of your life. You may think that you know the fulfillment of it this year, and then it may unfold in an even bigger way next year or the next. Amen. Okay, area code 678 again. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. My name is Teresa. I also want a prophetic prayer.
Okay, any certain need tonight?
Kind of similar to Henry's. I've already relocated, but really my children and a friend of mine in New York. That's it.
Oh, was that three different things, Teresa?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay, I was having trouble hearing if that was three different things. You know, I don't know you, and I don't know how this would apply, and I don't even know what I'm going to say next, but I just open my mouth and expect the Lord to fill it. Why? Because this is His idea for us to be, you know, in communion with Him and to hear His voice. And I just believe that He's a good Father, and He tells us what we need to know at this time. Sometimes it helps us get from here to there, and sometimes it's referencing things that we didn't even know we needed to know. But He's a good Father. Amen. Amen. And I just see, like, your hand in God's hand, and your hand looks so tiny. It looks like a little newborn hand, you know, compared to His hand, and no telling how big His hands are. But Father says, I have you. I've got you. I want your focus to be on me. And I allow these questions to come up in your mind so that you turn to me even more, and I'm exercising you and growing you in great faith as you do. And even with your children and your family, you will know that you know that you know that I love them far more than you could. And as I increase your trust in me, it's the questions you have now. As I increase your trust in me, then you will be able to have that peace that passes understanding in the future. Because you need to know that not only is your hand like a tiny newborn hand in my hand, but everybody that you love and care about is like on the palm of my hand, and I will never let them run off. They might appear to be off, but I'll never let them really run off. I've got them. It's always been me that put the food in your mouth and the clothes in your back and the roof over your head. It's always been me. So regardless of where I have you, regardless of your assignment, the main thing is to allow me to grow this perfect confidence. That even though feelings may kind of fly around your head, they don't have to become emotions that are like beliefs in your mind. That's the key I'm giving you right now. Feelings happen to anyone. Temptations happen to anyone, but it's not yet. But if you let it grow into a big emotion with an ungodly belief with it, then it will hit you and our relationship. The Lord says, I'm just allowing you to exercise now to know how to work with these feelings, and how to take every thought captive and to bring it to me, and how to make choices that I won't even let a doubt come to a full sentence in my mind. I'll begin to declare God's truth, God's faithfulness, God's love for me, always having my best interest at heart, always working things out for good. And the Lord says, I'm bringing it all together. I'm bringing it all together. And your confession will be that God's bringing it all together, working it all out, and that my part is to choose to have perfect confidence in Him and to trust. And while these may just seem like words at this time, it's going to become your huge anchor. Your huge anchor and a great testimony to those around you that, you know, when they ask you what's happening, you can say God's working it all out. Amen.
Amen.
I know everybody wants a blueprint and wants to know where they'll be. He's moved me several times, and sometimes closer to family and sometimes farther away. But it's always been good. I can always see God's wisdom and His love in the move. Okay?
Yeah.
I wish I could tell you just what I want you to know, but God tells you how much he wants you to know. Be blessed. Let us know what happens.
I will.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you, Lord. One thing that I have said several times on the air that I'll tell you now, that I see that God seldom speaks to, and what you know, we've had two people wanting that kind of direction tonight, but God seldom tells you way ahead of time about a relocation, exactly all about it. Many times the exact details of the transition he withholds and gives them to you little bit by little bit, but he seldom tells you who you're going to marry way ahead of time, or, you know, things like that. And sometimes he doesn't even clarify a calling way ahead of time. He lets you kind of grow into it. But then he does. Then he tells you when you need to know. It's going to be good. Okay, another caller. If you want to call in or have a friend call in, it's 917-388-4683. Area code 682. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Peter. Can you hear me?
Yes. Peter from where?
Hello. Texas.
Yes, Peter, I hear you. From Texas. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how are you?
I'm doing great. We just spoke this morning, I believe. I do have some good news. Jesus said, when these things begin to happen, lift up your head and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. So that's one thing we can rejoice about. And also, you mentioned about praying for a third great awakening. I don't want to promote any other ministries right now, but are you aware of what's going on in July, this July, Washington, D.C.?
I couldn't quite hear you. The sound broke up. Going on where?
I don't want in July in Washington, D.C., the first 3 weeks in July.
Okay, go ahead and share it.
Okay, I don't want to mention any other ministries' names because I don't want to seem to promote any other ministries. But another ministry from there in Florida has rented the Constitutional Hall right across the street from the White House, and they're having hundreds of soul winners descend on Washington, D.C. for a event called Celebrate America, D.C. And there'll be several preachers along with some conservative senators and congressional representatives will be speaking. And I think there's going to be thousands of souls saved there in D.C., and I think it's going to shake both the Congress and the White House. And I don't think D.C. will be the same again.
I agree with
there
that.
There has to be a third group. I think a lot of the things that are happening in America, Carlotta, are happening for the purpose of waking us up. Because, you know, people are starting to wake up and realize that we need to do something. You know, people realize something has to happen. You know, we haven't been sleeping for too long.
We have been sleeping for too long already.
Yeah, it's kind of like the frog in the kettle. You know, if you turn the heat up all of a sudden, the frog jumps out. But if you turn it up gradually, the frog eventually will boil to death. And one thing else I wanted to comment on, I've been reading more and more about Prince Charles possibly transitioning to be taking more and more of the role of the Queen. She's transferring more and more of her powers to him, and he makes a statement. He does not want to be the defender of the faith. He wants to be the defender of all faiths. And he wants to see, he's been more and more reaching out to Muslims and Jews and apostate Christians than ever.
Well, that's what's
just
happening
like
all around the world. People are calling it unity, and they're calling it Chrislam. They're calling it a lot of things, but make no mistake, folks, Jehovah God doesn't have unity with false gods, never has and never will. And it's not arrogant on our part to acknowledge that and to believe that we worship the one true God. And you're going to see a lot of division going on in the future, and I'm not speaking it into existence. I mean, it's already in existence. And even the Bible says that in one family, two will separate from three. And there's just a line that's been drawn, and as you recognize it in your own household or your own neighborhood or business or church, you're going to have to take a stand for Jehovah God or the unity of all the false gods.
Yeah, we need to hang our hat and, you know, hang our faith on the deity of Christ, that he is the only way to the Father. There is no other way.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on to the resurrection, because I think our faith in the resurrection will also be tested. And as Paul
yes.
said, if Christ be not raised dead, our faith is vain. And we need to, what did Paul say? Believe in your heart, in the very core of your being, that God has raised him from the dead. I could also use a prophetic word if you have one for me, too.
Yes, we all can. Father, Father, you're all we have. Holy Spirit, you're all we've had. Christ in us is our hope of glory and all we have, Lord. And all we need. You're everything. We just honor and glorify you tonight. We don't stand in fear. We don't back up in dread. We're not going to sit down, shut down. You know, we're just going to rise up. The Bible even says, even when Deborah became judge while the Israelites were in captivity, you know, that village life basically stood still till Deborah took her place. And Lord, we just choose to take our place, whatever you say that is, to go through whatever transition, relocation, healing, deliverance, whatever it is we need.
Yes.
Peter, I just see Lord Sabaoth riding into your life in new ways. He is the Lord of hosts, and that means hosts of angelic armies. And I see that there's nothing hard for the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Amen. And the Lord says, I'm coming in with power and strength and raising you up in new ways and setting you free beyond your imagination. He says, Peter, you've never really known yourself in a way. You haven't even known yourself. The enemy's been hitting you so hard. But the Lord says, I'm raising you up in your true identity, in my strength, in my power, in my authority. And it's going to be hell to pay for the devil for all the torment that he's brought in your life. And I just see Lord Sabaoth taking giant swords that are very, very sharp. They're just, you know, have that gleam on the steel or whatever they're made out of that is just so sharp. And just cutting off the assignments, the tentacles, the ropes, the chains of the enemy. Just cutting those things off, for the enemy has already got plans in place to hold you back, to keep you from standing up for Jesus, to keep you from knowing with clarity what your vision is. But the Lord says, I'm bringing clarity to your vision. Even this year, you will understand what your mission is and how to apply it. And I'm the one that's been building that courage and boldness in you. And you'll also know when to be strangely silent, because you'll be humble and you'll ask me what your assignment is, so that you won't become a needless casualty of war. But the Lord says, I'm raising up that warrior in you, and I've let the fight be tough in order to raise up that warrior. But there isn't any name, any enemy, any diagnosis, any problem, any challenge, any trouble that's higher than my name, Jesus says. None. And you've been growing in your belief that nothing can separate us. But also, nothing can shut you down. And while you've had to move ahead in the toughest of circumstances, the Lord says you'll also rise up in the toughest of circumstances, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I'm just taking my sword and cutting off the things that the enemy has planned to use to hold you back, to keep you from assuming this place in me and in the nation. And the Lord says, even then, you may think, oh, Lord, I wish I could do more, but you don't know how I'm multiplying it. You don't know how I'm multiplying the seeds that you sow. Don't worry. Just stay humble before me, because you can agree with me in the quiet of your bedroom and accomplish more than thousands of soldiers can do without me. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for that word. I got it recorded, too. So thank you.
You did. Good. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Right.
Amen. Bye-bye.
We just thank you, Lord, that you do always win. You have already won. We thank you that you're that Lord of hosts, Lord Sabaoth, inside us. And there's nothing that's big or hard to you. We thank you, Lord, that we can receive the courage and the boldness and the clarity and certainty and the faith and the trust so that we can be all that you created us to be. And I'm just praying right now for some other people, I don't know who they are, that are passive, that have not been living up to their potential, that have been, in effect, cowering, and have many reasons for not moving forward in you. In fact, they've been decreasing and calling it God. But the Lord says, I haven't called you to decrease. You're not so famous that you need to decrease. The Lord says, I'm calling you to rise up, men and women of God, to rise up in faith, to rise up in courage and boldness, and to speak the name of Jesus and leave the results to me. Stand up for Christian values and leave the results to me. Open your mouth and let me fill it. There are things that you used to allow me to do through you that you don't anymore. Allow me, release me to be all that I am through you. Know that it's me, it's my power, my might, my strength, and it's always adequate. But go ahead and take the challenges that you have now, because the challenges are going to get bigger. You need to take the challenges as I put them for you now. Let me grow you up in faith, grow you up with faith muscles, test you and try you, and you will find that there's nothing I can't do through you. Amen? Amen. Woo! Now, if you want to call in, you've already called recently, you can go ahead and call in now and just push that number one. We'll see if we can hear God for some of you in the last few minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. I believe we're going to see greater revival, greater reformation, greater awakening, greater work in these last days. Amen. The harvest is really here. The fearful things that are happening are just causing people to turn to God. Turn to God. Like I said, we had like 9,000 people sign up from China for our little school. Thank you, Lord. We're talking serious harvest here. Okay, area code 410. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Prophet Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hi, Valerie. What's happening?
Hi, how are you?
Good. And you?
Good. I'm fine, thanks. I was talking with my son. He had been telling me that he's been having some dreams about end times and about heaven. And I had asked him, I said, well, why didn't you share them with me earlier? And he had said, well, I don't think that they're really important. But I told him that, you know, it's good for him to share, you know, what his dreams are, you know, and to ask the Lord, too, you know, what does his dreams mean? I know I've been having dreams, not particularly about the end times, but I've been having quite a number of dreams, and I'm just really, I know I really need training and understanding what the Lord is speaking to me in dreams. And also, I want to try to help my son, because I believe that the Lord speaks to him. Well, we've actually received prophetic words that the Lord does speak to him often in dreams and visions, but he, and I try to encourage him to write them down. A lot of times he'll have dreams, but he won't write them down unless I'm really urging him to write them down. And I would love prayer tonight. Just that the Lord would guide us and how
he
speaks.
It was like even as you were talking, I think I was hearing the Lord say, tell all the people I'm giving them a homework assignment. Tell everybody that's listening at any time, I'm giving you a homework assignment. And that is to write down your dream at the moment. No putting it off till later. Write it down at the moment. Let it unfold. And ask me what it means while it's fresh, and let me give you the interpretation. But that's for children, too. Children often hear me better than adults, see, the Lord says. And have them start their dream notebook. And I want all of you to start your dream notebook. And take these things seriously, no matter how short it is, no matter how simple it seems. And to know that it will be a benefit, or I wouldn't have given it to you. So encourage the little children. Encourage them in their discernment. Many children discern things better than adults do before we teach them to doubt themselves and their perceptions. But have them also bring reports of their discernment. And while we teach them not to be judgmental and critical and hateful, we also don't want to suppress that gift of discernment when they do discern the wrong spirit in someone, and teach them the difference between criticizing the person or discerning the stronghold or a wrong spirit, so they'll know it's okay. Write these things out, bring it, and I'm encouraging child and adult alike to submit what you think you're getting to trusted spiritual advisors. Because especially with these dreams, the Lord says, many times I'm asking you to intercede, or I'm giving warnings or opportunities to pray so that bad things won't happen. Okay?
Yes.
And you just reminded me, Valerie, I had a dream this morning. And it doesn't seem that consequential. You know, I dreamed that I was sitting in a pew, which I guess would represent the church. And I had opportunities to pray for people. And it was just real short and quick, but there was a good result. But then other people would try to jump in and copy, but it wasn't really of the Lord. And the people that were receiving prayer would glance over at me like, what is this now coming from them? Are they jealous or what? And I would just kind of smile at them like, we've already heard from God. It's okay. And then it happened again. But I was still in a pew, and it was the people behind me, which might be symbolic also, in the church. And I don't know. I think God's just telling us all, be sensitive to those opportunities to pray for people. You never know how badly they need prayer. It's important that, you know, that little window, that Kairos moment is, and not to worry about the people that try to copy but don't really know what they're doing yet. You know, just keep on sowing anyway. Keep on sowing these seeds, and people will be able to discern which is the true and which is not.
Yes. Amen. 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 My boys play baseball, and I was sitting beside a lady, and she was just talking about how her asthma was triggered by I think she was cleaning her bathtub, and I was just kind of saying to myself, Lord, do I offer to pray for her? And a lot of times I will hold back instead of just asking, you know, would you mind if I pray for you? And I've been thinking, I said, well, Lord, you know, what do I need to do to just kind of ask people and not kind of hold back if, you know, they're saying, you know, this is what's going on, you know, in my body. And they'll talk to, you know, another person, and another person saying, yeah. And I'm like, well, you know, to myself, I know that God can heal that problem, you know. And I'm wanting to exercise faith, you know, and just pray and leave the results, you know, to God. And a lot of times
right.
I'll just pull back because because I'm at a baseball game or I'm at a or I'm out, you know, in public, and I'm like, well, I wonder what, you know, I'm wondering if you know, you know, I'm thinking, what will they think if I said, you know,
well,
do you
it,
mind if
it
I pray
is
for
good
you?
To be sensitive. God may give you a word of knowledge. For instance, maybe it's the chemical they're using, and they need to quit using it, you know,
uh-huh.
or a word of wisdom on how to do things, have ventilation, or, you know, have someone else do it. That sounds good. But I believe that sensitivity, the sensitivity that you're expressing, asking the Lord, asking their permission is so important. You know,
uh-huh.
you don't have to figure everything out ahead of time. Just like Valerie said, you can ask that person, would you like me to pray for you? And then they can say no, you know, if they don't want to. Or maybe they'd say later. Or
right.
let's go out to the car or something. But thank you, Lord, for opportunity. We just thank you for opportunities. And we receive your eyes to see them, because when Jesus, when you walked down the street, you just saw opportunities everywhere, it seemed like. You just keep praying for people that you saw on the way. And we thank you, Lord, for new expectations of opportunities to pray for people. And even if we offer and they're, you know, too shy to accept, they'll still know that we cared enough to offer. We just
yeah.
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Right. I hope you tell your boys that they are definitely invited to send me their dreams if they'd like.
Yes. 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 I would love for basically once he has them to let, because a lot of times he'll have dreams and he won't. He won't let me know he's had the dreams. Or there has been times when the Lord has given him dreams and visions, and I'll say, write them down, or he's too lazy. He's like, I don't feel like writing them down, and I'll write it down for him. But he's had some really interesting visions concerning revival and concerning even parts of the country, you know, and just different things that, you know, he's seen,
mm-hmm.
and I believe they're really important, but he's feeling as though they're not important, you know, to share. And
well,
I'm trying to
tell him
get
the Lord
him to understand
said it's
that
our homework.
Yes.
Tell him the Lord said it's our homework to write down our dream. It's
yes.
not optional, it's homework.
I will tell him that.
Okay.
God
right,
bless
have
you.
Have a blessed night.
You too.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Well, I know in my case, as experienced as I am, and I'm not saying that my main forte is dreams, but as experienced as I am with interpreting dreams, I still have to write it down. It unfolds as I write. I never have even half of it when I begin writing. It's as I write. So I imagine a lot of you experience the same thing. Try that. Write it, and as you write, expect to receive more insight and interpretation. Thank you, God, for speaking to us. Amen. Area code 310, welcome to the program.
It's Patricia in Los Angeles.
Welcome, Patricia.
Thank you, and thank you for the program. I just think there's been such persecution of Christians for so long, and the Christian community has been, I think, slow in recognizing how severe it is in other countries.
Amen.
Where people go in. I first heard of it years ago really through people in the women's movement because they were so upset. But when I learned mm-hmm. that they would just go into churches and machete people, everyone in the church, and maybe one lone survivor – So thank you that you remind us to pray for them and to be grateful for the liberties that we have and that we are careful to take them back and preserve them.
Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful for the place where the church is growing. Some churches are growing. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. And I thank those witnesses that stay so loyal despite the persecution. And one thing that occurred to me during the show, and I thought I really, for me, want to make sure that I do that, is that I do show the love of Christ to everyone, whether they agree or not, that I really stand up for my belief, that I show that love of Christ to those who may not know him yet, and hope for those who just, you know, haven't just gone to another side, but that they might look into their faith and connect with spirit-filled churches.
Amen. I was just reading yesterday about someone, I believe it was a pastor, but I'm not sure. I read so many stories today that was arrested and persecuted, and when he was released, he turned around and told them that he forgave them. And what an impact
wow.
it has. So, yes, it matters. You know, it matters if we are that message to others in good and bad times.
Well, and thank you also for that, not to be fearful, but to be prepared so that we really aren't lukewarm no matter what happens, that we, you know, take those gifts of the Spirit. We're not lukewarm, and we are prepared.
That's right. I'm glad you put it that way. Because,
yeah.
Right. The Bible talks about having extra oil for your lamp, and some people argue, oh, that's in the Spirit, and others say, no, it's practical, too. Well, I say do both. You know, be prepared.
Absolutely. Be prepared. And I think we all need to be prepared for that time that we might I know I've had it happen to me. I was sort of taken unaware, but to know what we would say if we're in situations where people might be denying God or wanting God pushed out of an area. So, you know, we know what we're going to say. We know our stand. We're already strong.
Yes. I just hate reading these stories. I hate sharing them on the air, and this is probably one of two programs where I've done that, and these stories are definitely the worst, but there are many more, as even one that you just mentioned. There are many more. I didn't begin to cover everything, and we need to know that persecutions will increase, the Bible says, and tribulation. There isn't a fine print. You know, you might say, when I signed up to be a Christian, I didn't sign up for this, but the Bible's always been clear. Read Matthew 24 and Mark 13, Luke 21, I think it is, again. It's been very clear there'll be persecutions. And yes, many of those were fulfilled in the first century. But part of Matthew 24 wasn't, you know, where it talks about the second coming. We haven't seen that yet. So there's still persecution to go, and we need to fall in love with Jesus in such a way that no matter what happens, will be able to be his love to others, receive his love in the midst.
Well, thank you for this program and for that teaching and encouragement. And
well, Patricia, I just believe I hear the Lord saying that I'm increasing your discernment by leaps and bounds. There have been the enemy has wanted to put blinders on you so that you couldn't see the evil spirit behind some things. And the Lord says that I'm taking those blinders off and more and giving you the ability to discern good from evil on deeper levels. And there are times when, you know, it's rough to know. You kind of would like to see everyone as a good person. But the Lord says, I'm giving you that gift of discernment, and not to feel bad about it, but to know that it's for a purpose and for a reason and for my glory. And as you discern these things, you can pray more accurately. You can know what level of relationships to have. You can know covenant agreements to not to make. And you can know that all that, you know, talk God isn't. And so the Lord says, I'm giving you that Issachar anointing to discern the times and the seasons. And there will be things where you say, well, I thought I discerned that well already, and now here's more information. But as I give you these prophetic words and words of wisdom and words of knowledge, then you're going to know. And at times you may be the only one that knows, but fear not. Fear not. If it seems like you're the only one, that's okay. And you can also ask me, join me together, Lord, with other people of like mind. Show me where they are, like you showed Elijah, that he wasn't the only one, that there were 7,000 others. Lord, show me where they are. And the Lord says, yes, yes, yes. I want to team you up with others who are discerning. We have the Issachar anointing, and who can discern the spirit sources, whether they're my spirit or not. And the Lord says, you'll get used to it. It might seem heavy at first to be able to see and see these things, but the Lord says, I'm training you. I'm training you to how to love the person but come against the stronghold, how to love the people but also to recognize other agendas that are not my agenda. And I'm training you so that you will know how to be an expression of me even around the people that secretly hate me. And you'll be able to train others also. As I release you, you're going to be able to train others also. And they will know that this discernment is of me, not a critical judgmental spirit. It's discernment that is badly needed. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. I've been praying for discernment, and I have been being more diligent on writing my dreams, but not perfect. And it's a theme that I've been having in my dreams where I don't recognize, and then something happens, and then I recognize.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that trains us. Sometimes I even dream things ahead of time, and I don't realize it till I'm in the middle of it, but I'm learning.
And in one dream that I just had, I thought, oh, my, And I thought something I don't remember. I thought, here is a key. I've been praying. What is this? Show me the enemy's, what he's doing or the strategy. And I thought, here is a key. I must write my dream down. I must wake myself up and write my dream. But I thought I woke myself up and wrote my dream, but I was writing it in my dream, but making sense of it. So...
Wow.
Slowly getting to where I wake up and write them down. But I do remember that portion, so it's thank you for the word, and it's great encouragement to me, and I thank God that he does put us all together so that we can grow and encourage each other.
Amen.
Thank you.
I just thank you. Thank you for calling, and we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are knitting us together with others that we're fitly joined together with, that you are forming teams, prayer teams, teams to take action, teams to witness, teams to train up others. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for we still have the internet. And I hope you all are checking out our newest website. It's smaller, much easier to understand, at restorationprayerministry.com. Or if you'd like the short version, it's pprpm.com. That's pprpm.com. Like Personal Prophetic Restoration Prayer Ministry.com. Check us out at our video school online, where all the Chinese joined, at nowfaith.tv. If you'd like to read, we've got about 150 or 200 articles on crosswalklife.com. That's crosswalklife.com. I hope you'll contact me and let us know what God's doing. Just let us know what God's doing. And also, we're going to have to change the program timing later on in May, because I'm going to be at the Center for Biblical Studies on Monday nights. And so you can let me also know what time you would like for a different. So please invite a friend and join us for more Crosswalk. Please be praying for us as we take these stands publicly. And we'll pray for you. Thank you, Lord. You know, Lord, all we really want is you. I just love you. Vicki, you. Saying all we want is you. All we want is you.